I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome back to Radio Times. There was a lot of grousing about the street closures when Pope Francis was in Philadelphia just a few weeks ago. But once residents got a taste of carless streets for the weekend, many of them liked it. They could bike, they could skateboard, rollerblade, stroll without worrying about traffic and congestion. Now there's some calls for more street closures on a more regular basis after the success of the Papal Weekend. Philadelphia, like other cities, has to balance the needs of motorists and cyclists and pedestrians and skateboarders and rollerbladers. It's our topic for this hour of Radio Times, and we have three guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Inga Saffron is architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She blogs at Changing Skyline, and in 2014, she won the Pulitzer Prize for her criticism of architecture. And Inga Saffron, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here, Marty.
Also with us, Denise Gorin, and she's director of the Mayor's Office of Transportation and Utilities. Denise Gorin, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you so much, Marty.
You're very welcome. And our third guest is Nate Hummel, one of the leaders of Open Streets Philadelphia. He's also director of planning and design for University City District. And Nate Hummel, nice to have you with us on Radio Times
as
well.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And let me go to you, if I could, Denise, since you were very much involved in the Papal Weekend. Was that one of your takeaways, which is maybe we should figure out how to do some smaller version of this more often?
I had the pleasure of literally being on the streets of Philadelphia during the Francis Festival, working at an Indigo station at Rittenhouse Square, and people loved just walking and biking as they came up to rent a bike. Those were the comments. So I did see it firsthand.
How about for you, Inga?
I was also on the streets that day. I was working for the Inquirer that day, and it was just a revelation. I never saw such a joyful atmosphere on the streets, and it was so contagious and wonderful. It was totally unexpected in a way.
Well, I remember coming to work on Friday, coming into the train station and coming out, and I actually thought I was in an episode of The Twilight Zone because there were no cars. I mean, there were no people. It was early in the morning, but there were no cars on the street.
There was a special silence.
I looked around. I thought, where am I? How about for you, Nate?
Well, my wife and I were riding our bikes around in it. It was just amazing. And we live in Fishtown, so we came down through concrete barriers and got in and just couldn't believe it. It was just so wide open. I gleefully blew through several red lights on my bike without worrying. So it was this experience of something that we just had not seen in Philadelphia and really enjoyed it. The quietness was something that I couldn't get past. It was just wow.
Denise, should we be then anti-car?
No, we shouldn't be anti-car. There's a time and place for every vehicle and for active transportation, and we need to move around. But sometimes we can celebrate in different ways the ways we move around the city and interact with one another.
But the mayor should be or could be joining us a little bit later on in the show, and he's quoted as saying, you know, perhaps we should think about doing this on a smaller scale going forward, even before he leaves office.
He asked for several of us in the city to get together and just think about that very question. What is it we could do in a short period of time? And what are the factors that you have to consider if we kind of think about this as something we do on a more periodic and planned basis?
I mean, we're not going to have the box, and it's not going to be 5 square miles and all of that, but it's a smaller version of that. Is it complicated to shut a street down for block parties or just
Marty,
strolling?
It's not that complicated, but it is different than shutting it down for block parties or street festivals or a parade or a game. I checked this morning, we get over 6,000 permits to shut down for block parties and streets a year right now. And so this is a city that's used to stopping traffic for various things. So the question is, how is an open street different than all the other times we close streets? Defining that is probably the first question we need to ask.
Well, how do you define it?
I think it has to do with several factors. One is that it is less programmed. It has a different purpose, a different brand, if you will, in terms of who you're inviting and why you're inviting them. It's not to celebrate a particular time of year or a neighborhood, but it's really to help celebrate each other.
Well, you're part of an organization, Open Streets Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. How do you envision that?
So I think a lot of that is great, wonderful to hear from a city official because that's the research that we've been putting together on this. Open streets are a lot of different things, but we like to think of them as their streets as places, and this is a wonderful opportunity for people to feel that way, something that maybe was more common 100 years ago, but the idea that you can get on the streets and be free to do different things, dancing, yoga, whatever it might be, and then just being out there in those streets, excuse me, you start to feel civic pride. This is a wonderful city that I live in. I'm really happy to be here. I'm starting to see all these things in a different light. I'm walking by stores I didn't know were here and different things. And then really the public health angle is the other big...
The fact that people get outside.
They're walking. They're walking. Just physically active. Even if it's a group of seniors on a simple stroll, they're out. They're walking and at a leisurely pace. And that's public health is a big part of open streets.
And how do you see open streets from your perspective as an architecture critic?
I agree with all those things that Nate said. And, you know, I kept hearing from people during the Pope weekend that they looked at buildings they never looked at before. They saw the city with fresh eyes. And in my last column where I talked about why we should do open streets, I spent some time interviewing officials in other cities about what they gain from it. And the most interesting thing I heard was that by selectively closing streets, you know, on a short-term basis, you can reassess how much street capacity you really need. And it's a real learning experience. It's a real-time experiment for cities. And in Atlanta, when they have their Streets Alive program, they discovered that lots of their streets are way wider than they need to be, and they've recently got funding to add medians and make them safer. So I think there's a lot of things we could learn from these kinds of trials. We have to do it more than once, I think, to learn those things.
Well, as you said, Denise, you get something like 6,000 requests through the year for some kind of street closure. But it sounds like we're talking about something different. I mean, perhaps it's closing a street and, in a sense, inviting everyone, to come and enjoy it?
It's different. But there are many similarities. Some of the logistics are the same. How many barricades you need, how many police officers, what's the time of day, what do you do in case that the weather changes. So some of the logistical questions are all the same. So we have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. We also, by the way, do have an open street, and we've had one for over 20 years.
I think I know what you're referring to, but go ahead.
Right, which is Martin Luther King Drive, West River Drive. And when you check the literature around the country, we're there, Philadelphia, already having an open street. The question is, can we also do this somewhere else? And what do people want? And where?
And would that somewhere else, I mean, it could be a residential part of the city. It could be a more commercial part of the city.
For that very reason, the mayor asked us to do a survey, and it's on right now at phila.gov, and 3,000 people have chimed in to give their opinions on where and how and when it should be. And we're parsing through that data as right now.
As you go. Well, how would you like to see it, Nate?
I think the key to this is it has to involve maybe more than one neighborhood, because the idea is you're getting people into someplace they aren't normally out in. So it's a wonderful way to experience new parts of town. So we'd love to see it be a more of a linear thing than a grid thing. That would be wonderful. But the idea that it has to be negotiated, there's obviously all these challenges. Right. How do emergency vehicles get through? All these different things that need to be coordinated. And so we would love to keep getting opinions. We have this website, openstreetsphilly.com, that we're getting a lot of feedback from people of good and bad, things that they want or places that they think would be really good. Inga had a wonderful Facebook post the other day, and there's been amazing comments on different roads that want to be closed for these events. And so I think our idea is that we see ourselves as sort of the brain. We have a bunch of passionate people in Open Streets PHL that are coming together and doing a lot of research and talking to different groups, best practices, and would love to share that with anybody that wants to know. Because we have – there's so many examples. There's over 120 Open Streets events in North America.
Interesting. In North America, so Canada and the United States.
Yep.
Interesting. But, you know, people do drive cars in this city, and we know from the Papal Weekend there was a lot of complaining and a lot of – I mean, that was complicated because you had to really shut down a whole large swath of the city. But I'm sure, Inga, motorists, people that drive cars say, oh, gosh, here I go, another detour, you know, another search for a parking place that I can't find.
Yes, and there'll be some inconvenience, but I'm presuming that the city's going to do this on a weekend when there's less car traffic in the city. And, you know, there are always detours. As Denise says, you know, there are always closures for one reason or another, or streets are being fixed. You know, there was, when the idea was first proposed, there was, you know, a kind of a little bit of a overreaction, like you're not going to close down all of Center City again. No, it's not going to be all of Center City. It won't be the Pope weekend all over again. It'll be a very, very different thing on a much more limited basis. And, you know, I'm assuming that there will be total mobility even if a few streets are closed.
One of the things we've learned is that for it to an open street event to be successful, it has to be accessible by public transit, by foot, by trail, and also by car. If you can't get there and you're not reaching into every neighborhood and inviting everyone equitably to participate, then it's not a success. So, yes, you have to look at both emergency vehicles and access to the to where the open street is.
And not to put you on the spot there, but are there streets that you think that would be amenable to this, that cover, you know, a section of the city so that people might get out of their neighborhood, for instance? Like, I don't know, Washington Avenue? Is that...
You know, time of day of week. In New York City, they close down from 7 to 1 on a Sunday. So that factor of time of day and day of week is really important. But you have to look at factors like, is it Sunday? Are there churches? Are people used to parking there? How's that affect them? How close are you to a hospital or a garage, access to a hotel? All those factors go in. But sure, there are streets who will go, wait a minute, I'll raise my hand.
Yeah.
After they've had a chance to probably recover from the festival here, but they'll raise their hand and say, wait a minute, this is fun, and I can participate as a retail business or as a neighborhood.
Are there certain streets you have in mind?
We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
So I know we'd love to see this stretch across, maybe across the river, if that could happen.
Oh, to Camden?
Of stuff. No, to West Philly.
West Philly, sorry.
But that idea that thinking of that as an extension of whatever might happen in this, or there's always opportunity for in the neighborhoods, and what better way to experience Germantown or Fishtown or other places that you don't normally find yourself just kind of strolling along the street. So I think we would love to think more about it.
Well, we are talking about open streets here in Philadelphia. That's Nate Hummel, one of the leaders of Open Streets Philadelphia. He's also director of planning and design for the University City District. Inga Saffron with us as well, architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Her blog is Changing Skyline, and as I said at the top of the show, she won a Pulitzer Prize in 2014 for her criticism of architecture. And our third guest is Denise Gorin, director of the Mayor's Office of Transportation and Utilities. And we want to hear from you. What do you think about this idea? Are there certain streets or neighborhoods that you think that would work? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us, @WHYYRadioTimes, and do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. We're talking about opening the streets in Philadelphia, some lessons learned from the papal visit of just a couple of weeks ago, and again talking with Nate Hummel, Inga Saffron, and Denise Gorin. We have a comment from Fred. I'll put this to you, Inga. Fred says, 2 years ago, he and his wife did 10 days in Italy and Rome. They instituted a huge main road closure on Sundays, and it was a great experience that day. They happen to have huge farmers market. Have they heard of this type of idea? I guess on a cities on a regular basis essentially shutting down a major street and allowing things to happen.
Of course, in European cities, especially older cities, there are parts of those cities, the medieval parts, that are, you know, pretty much shut to serious car traffic all the time. So,
in part, cars can't get through some of these medieval cities
as well. Yes, that's true. So, it's incredibly common in Europe. One thing I heard from various people when I did these interviews was there's also opportunities for businesses to take advantage of this. We heard a lot of criticism during the Pope's visit that business suffered. You know, I think the conditions were very different during that event, but you know, if they have advance warning, they can plan sidewalk tables. Restaurants can put out extra sidewalk tables. Merchants can put out their goods on tables. I think they could really benefit. And I think just the fact that people are walking instead of driving by, they're much more likely to drop into a store than they would ordinarily. So I think it could be hugely advantageous for businesses.
Do you see that as well, Denise?
I do see
that. I mean,
that
was one of the complaints of the Papal Weekend
right.
from some businesses.
But at least here we're talking about in our own neighborhoods, on our own streets, and primarily with our own citizens and visitors. So with the proper planning and timing, I absolutely agree with Inga. This could be an event that everyone benefits from with minimal inconvenience. But we do have to think about whether you're rerouting a SEPTA bus and being able to pick it up and making sure emergency vehicles can get through. So there are issues that are practical and pragmatic that we have to think through and make sure it's just safe but accessible for all.
Well, let me get your boss, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, in on the conversation. Mayor Nutter, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Marty, thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm running a little late.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. We've been doing actually just fine without you, but we're happy to have you here. No, we're happy to have you here.
We do have Denise.
Exactly. So was that one of your takeaways from the Papal Weekend, which is, gosh, you know, we can think about perhaps using our streets in a different kind of way?
You know, look, everyone has access to the roadways, and it was, quite frankly, just an incredibly different kind of feeling out there on the many, many streets that were, you know, within the what we used to refer to as the secure vehicle perimeter, where there were no vehicles, and it was just unusual. It was very, very different. But it's something that we should open our minds to, try to figure out. And heard the tail end of what Denise was saying. I mean, there are some practical issues about mass transit and certainly emergency vehicles and the like. But I mean, I think this is more than doable. We can figure this out. There's smart enough people around to design something like this. And if everybody knows, you know, hey, it's, you know, 20 some odd years ago, literally 20 years ago this year, the very wild and radical idea of the closing of then West River Drive, before it was renamed, of course, Martin Luther King Drive,
right.
Was an idea. And people were like, how is that going to work? What are you going to... 20 years later, nobody's thinking about it, right? It's April to October. It's closed, the whole thing from, you know, in the morning to noon, and then the second half from Sweetbriar opens up in the afternoon. And it's just ingrained in our – so, I mean, it's just – it is what it is.
Well,
we can figure this out, and I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for us to showcase and experience Philadelphia in a very, very different way. And, you know, if it's once a month or once a quarter or whatever, I mean, we can figure out all those – details, but everybody knows what the story is,
sure.
And you know, you figure it out.
Well, and would you like this to happen before the end of your term?
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, having really nothing to do with the timing on my calendar. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, I mean, weather is still relatively decent in Philadelphia up through even you know, early December. So, sure, I'd love to have it happen. Just, you know, sometime before the end of the year, take advantage of the weather, hopefully, you know, it cooperates on that particular day, and let's experience it, and we'll test it, pilot it, or whatever the case may be, and then into 2016 have, you know, an even more sustainable regular plan, and, you know, the next mayor and the next administration, they'll figure that out, but, I mean, we should do it one more time.
Would you like to do it in your neighborhood?
I'd love to have it in my neighborhood. I don't know how many. I mean, there probably aren't as
well. We
many
have Denise
in my
right here
in Winfield as there might be in Center City. I don't know how many folks will come out, but you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing you can actually do in any number of neighborhoods all across the city of Philadelphia. But I mean, in terms of, you know, number of businesses and width of streets and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, Center City is really kind of tailor made for that. But you can have these kinds of you know, open streets, street closures, whatever you want to call it, more open streets. You could have this in, you know, potentially every one of the 10 city council districts, every neighborhood has some area where you could do something like this. And, you know, some will be larger, some will be smaller, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, let's enjoy our city. Let's have a joy and a sense of adventure about ourselves. And every now and then, let's just do something different.
Well, that sounds like fun. Mayor Nutter, thank you so much for weighing in this hour of Radio Times.
My pleasure. Thanks, Marnie. Thanks, Denise, and all the guests over there.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. And that's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, a big fan of this idea of open streets, not surprisingly. That's what we're talking about in this hour of Radio Times. And you can join the conversation. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. We want to know what you think of this idea. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Denise, if I can go back to you and something that we were talking about off air, which is that these things do cost money. And I want to get Nate, you back in on the conversation as well. But this isn't free.
Well, it isn't free. It's not outrageously expensive either, but you have to just think about some of the cost. And that's why often in many cities there are sponsors. There's police overtime, there's barricades, there's setups, but there's also the ability to pull in some volunteers. So, as this becomes something that we can do on a periodic basis, there are going to be people who really want to help out, lend a hand. But there's a cost. There's a price tag in terms of time, materials, cleanup, and opening the streets back up and letting everyone back in and promoting it.
Right.
It's true. It happens when we have it throughout the country. There's events that do cost money. There's police cost money. All that stuff happens. But when you do several events in the same year and you know it's coming back, sponsors seem to be more likely to want to participate, particularly if there's health concerns or other issues such as that. It really gets the name out there. And I think the mayor really said something that comes and happens in other places like Bogota that's been doing this for a while, and New York now doing this for a while. It starts to just become part of it. It just, like, we don't even think about shutting down Martin Luther King Drive anymore. It just happens. And so the idea with open streets is that it starts to become ingrained in the city, and it just on Sunday mornings in the summer, this is what happens. And so we think that it would take a couple times to do this,
right?
But there is energy from sponsors for this.
Did you want to weigh in on the sponsors part?
I had a different question, and I've been hearing this a lot from callers and emailers. So you know, a lot of people worry that the bikes will take over, and I was wondering, Denise, if you had thought about how you might bring order to the open streets.
In a way, that experience, the chaos of that experience, has to be somewhat self-regulated. Mm-hmm. I did have concerns with people who were driving down during the festival, one-way streets on a bike the wrong way, and kind of surprising people by their silence. So, you know, it's everyone, I think, though, learns to respect one another. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more things moving on our sidewalks and streets, whether it's people with baby carriages or people on those hoverboards, which fascinate me, and I'm not sure what they are, but
they're there,
and I think we can all work together. And I think the pace, it's not a race, it's a ramble, and people, I think everyone will understand that.
But what you were hearing, Inga, is just some concern about just.
I think there's always concern when the word bicycles come up, and you know, so people will say, you know. You know, should they stay to the right? You know, how will we divide the street? You know, what?
Is that an issue that concerns you, Nate?
Yeah, it's something that everybody should understand. This is not a bike race. And so there aren't hordes of bikes coming through. There's so many things going on in the street that it's a leisurely stroll for bikes. And so it could be, if there's energy for this, I think there's a lot of learning. You do one and, there's a bunch of bikes. Let's figure out a better way to do that next time. I think you can say maybe there's a route that is more dedicated towards faster bikes or more. This is a word that's more dedicated. So I think you work with this, and you always learn. You always observe and learn and try and adjust the next time.
Let me get some callers in on the conversation. We have Sally calling us from Center City, Philadelphia. And Sally, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to add, you know, my experiences. We went out on bikes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It went all over the city, and it was, you know, it was so exciting. The word that keeps coming to mind is giddy, because it just felt so amazing to be able to be out. And I guess my experience is this: I'm a very timid bike rider, and so I'm afraid most of the time. The idea of riding on city streets is sort of terrifies me, and I think it was a way to get kind of used to the possibility of getting around the city. Obviously, it's very different when there are cars,
sure.
But you start to kind of see the terrain in a different way. And I guess the other thing that I was just thinking about is that it's not just for the bikers and the walkers, that the whole nature of the relationships on the sidewalks are different. You stop and say hi. That people were enjoying sitting out on the sidewalk cafes because it wasn't noisy. It wasn't, you know, it didn't have gas fumes. So everybody was out, you know, in the public life. So, I mean, I would think that stores would be able to make use of that in terms of sidewalk sales and more outdoor seating for cafes and,
sure.
and all of that.
Well, Sal, I appreciate the call to Radio Time. Sounds like a thumbs up, Denise, for this idea.
I want to just kind of echo what Sally said. One of the things that I found during the festival was a lot of people came to the Indigo Station and said, I haven't been on a bike in years. Can I try one to see if I still know how to ride? Those people were quickly converted into, I think, some memberships just when they realized they could and how great the system was. But it was that sense of security that, all right, there's no cars, so if I'm wobbly, it's okay.
Are you a cyclist, Nate?
I am, with two little kids who also love being on bikes. And there's just, that was so magical, seeing kids out there with their parents leisurely going down the middle of the street. It's just something, when you think about, the caller mentioned vulnerable users, this is so important. Anybody that hasn't been on a bike in 20 years, yeah, you don't want to have a bus running by you or a car coming near. So it's nice. It really, it opens it up. And it's this sort of, you start to love your city. You start to realize Philadelphia is pretty flat. Philadelphia is pretty small blocks. Philadelphia has pretty nice, ornate architecture that we can observe from a slow pace. And so all these things start to come together, and we just love it.
Well, we are talking about open streets in Philadelphia, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Inga, let me go to you. Do you think there's a street in Philly? I know Chestnut Street was tried for a while to keep, I guess it was just, you know, buses, but no motorists or cars, I guess they're called.
Chestnut Street Transitway.
Exactly. I mean, that didn't exactly sustain itself, and that may be a whole show in and of itself. But do you think is there a street that you think could be a pedestrian walkway on a permanent basis?
Yeah, this topic's come up a lot, and, you know, I've heard a lot of people make suggestions. People have talked about Sansom Street, which is a very interesting idea as a pedestrian-only street, like even forget the bikes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of garages, as Denise just said.
Right. A lot of garages.
So the logistics of the conversion would be difficult. But also, I think we're starting to have a conversation right now about, we have a lot of wonderful alleys in Philadelphia that have, like, been very mistreated and, you know, used for dumpsters. And the Center City District has raised this issue of, you know, are there some alleys we can actually take back and clean up? And, you know, just I right before the Pope's visit, I was in Spain, and I was in a couple of medieval cities, and, you know, where their streets were no wider than our alleys. And it's so atmospheric and wonderful. And you can imagine, like, people opening up the backs of buildings, having cafe tables. These alleys could be really wonderful, wonderful places.
Have you thought about that, Denise? I mean, has that come up?
I've had the pleasure of traveling to those places as well, so I think about it with some frequency. We can just figure out where to put those dumpsters. That's an interesting challenge. But, you know, we do have the scale of many European cities. We do not have the wide streets of a Los Angeles or even a Manhattan. So we can think about this in a different way. But our traffic and our scale of our buildings to the streets already has that human pedestrian scale, and we should celebrate it.
Do you see this, Nate, as sort of part of, you know, some of these pop-up parks, as they've been called? I mean, I know they don't like to use that word anymore, but the idea of sort of creating these spaces where people can congregate.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I do every day. At University City District, we do tactical urbanism and pop-up parks, and we try and find ways of nimbly and lightly putting things on spaces that for years people said, no, you can't do anything there. So we value that highly and think that the idea of these alleys, we don't have as many in university cities or in Center City, but one thing I always go back to is Melbourne, Australia. They call them laneways, and they completely flipped the coin on their city by turning these alleys into wonderful places. They figured out the dumpsters. They figured out they opened the stores to the laneways, the alleys. So I think that kind of thing could just be magical. And then the scale lends itself to the pedestrian experience. And so it feels right. You don't feel like you're in the Walking Dead, where you're in this massive wide street and you're scared. Right? It's this nice little...
And they don't have to be closed river to river. I mean, that might be a really, incredible challenge to do that. But you could pick two blocks or three blocks, a modest area, and close those. And that might be more doable.
We're almost up on our second break here, Ingen, and you had written about, many of us have lived through the sort of car-centric, car-crazed part of our history, and it looks like maybe with people moving back into cities, we're rethinking our relationship with cars and with transit.
That's what I like so much about these temporary closures, because you can learn what you can live without, and... our streets, for more than half a century have been sized to accommodate cars, and lighted to accommodate cars. And, maybe we went overboard with that. I think that's one point. I think another point is, we hear a lot of talk about millennials not being such big drivers and car sales being down and people wanting to walk to work and bike to work. And so I think we need to think about readjusting the balance. And that does not mean getting rid of roads for cars, because we're always going to need them, and businesses are always going to need loading. And we have to be very respectful of that. But I don't think it hurts to look at this in a new way.
Well, let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about opening up Philadelphia streets, some lessons learned after the papal weekend of a couple of weeks ago. Talking with Inga Safran, Nate Hummel, and Denise Gorin. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. We are talking about opening up Philadelphia streets on a more regular basis. Denise Gorin, Director of the Mayor's Office of Transportation and Utilities. Inga Safran, a Pulitzer Prize-winning architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Her blog is Changing Skyline. And also with us is Nate Hummel, one of the leaders of Open Streets Philadelphia, also Director of Planning and Design for the University City District. And you can join the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. An email from Bill says, if an event, then how does it differ from the hundreds of everyday block parties and the like? Please call it a day-long or week-long street closure instead of event. I mean, and I'm back to you, Denise.
Yeah, that was our very first question, to make sure we all get on the same page on how it is different. And it's different, as I said, because not only are all cars not moving down the street, but also that we're advertising it as something that just come down. It's not as structured. Things may occur on the edges and around it, but we want you just to enjoy it. We're not having Oktoberfest. We're not doing an art festival. It doesn't have a specific purpose other than kind of actively being there with your neighbors and friends.
Yeah. I mean, is that how you see it, Nate?
Absolutely. It's about stretching it out. I think that's the key. When you think about, I live in Fishtown, and there are festivals that just you can't even walk through, even if you want to. It's not that at all. It's more stretched out. The lack of programming, there aren't the beer tents and all that stuff. It's a yoga class that just shows up out of nowhere. It's a samba class that pops up. So it's these little things that they're more spread out is the best way to think about it.
It's more organic, I think, is what you hope to obtain.
Well, and spread out meaning also more than just a block.
Correct. It's so often it's mile or more
a
of
mile
space that...
New York City is 7 miles long on Park Avenue, but it's only 4 hours on a Sunday that occurs. This started in the 1970s in Bogota. Now they've figured out that it's actually 60 miles. I mean, it's some incredible number of blocks.
60 miles?
I might be.
Most of the city is shut down.
Most of the city is shut down. Yeah. Yes, there's a big expanse, and there might be some food trucks along the edge or something else so people can, but shop owners opening their doors. Right. It's, as I said, it's celebrating the place, not an event, not a festival, not something specific.
And Inga, you see Philadelphia's sort of designed or suited in many ways for these kinds of events?
Oh, I think it's perfect because it's a grid, so there's always an alternative route you can take. You know, if 13th Street is closed, well, you can take 11th or you can take 15th. So there's always a way around. And it's pretty intuitive, I would imagine.
Well, let me see what Rory from South Philadelphia has to say. Hi, Rory. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I run a street festival every year in South Philadelphia that we kind of just do under a block party permit. We probably have about 600 people at a time, maybe 1,000 plus through the day.
Wow.
And I purposely kind of do it in inner city areas that have problems with crime and stuff that are rapidly gentrifying to kind of start bringing people together and get used to the change that's happening in the city. What kind of concerns do you think that there would be if it were to occur in a more residential area, and do you think that people would perceive it maybe in a negative light or as part of the growing trend of gentrification throughout the city?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's Laura. A really good question, and I mentioned earlier there's a survey right now at Philadelphia.gov that, in a sense, we pose that question, which is who's asking for it to happen? Who are the participants? This really must be a partnership with the community and residential organization to work together. I don't think it can be just dictated by city government. It's a partnership, and it's a plan that you need to work together. You need a little time to often do that.
Well, I'm thinking about that. That person on the block says, "Well, I don't want this. I don't want this in my block."
That happens with a block party too.
So there is
a majority rule thing, but the question is that there are options, and in a residential neighborhood, there's these things do happen all the time, and the neighbors get to meet each other and have relationships that, but for the street being closed, they wouldn't have had.
Well, we are a city of neighborhoods, Nate. I mean, and I guess in certain ways, sometimes it feels segregated or people that don't necessarily know someone that lives in a different neighborhood.
Sure, and the beauty of public space is it's public space, it's free, anybody can come down and use it and experience it. So there's nothing that says cultural groups in these different neighborhoods that feel like they're maybe being pushed out, they can have an event there where they celebrate their culture, their history. And so I think this is an opportunity for people to reclaim these streets as pure public space where you can just show off what you believe in, and it's something that we think could actually uplift some of these neighborhoods rather than make people scared and stay in their houses.
Do you see it that way, Inga? The possibility
of that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to think about this happening on some commercial corridors that are really, trying to make a comeback, like Chilton Avenue in Germantown. I think it would be pretty interesting to try to do it in a place like that and get people who don't frequent that shopping strip to go there. So I think it can introduce people to neighborhoods they wouldn't normally visit.
Rory, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me see what looks like Perry from Old City has to say. And Perry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This is as you say, not an event, but an occurrence that I really hope happens in our city. I've lived in New York City and Brussels and watched how they accommodate the cyclists there. And now that I'm in Old City, I was here for Popageddon. I was one of, I think, two families in my building that actually stayed. Everybody was afraid to be in the city, thought it was going to be terrible. And it turned into such a magical weekend for my family to get to know the city in such a different way. It was really wonderful. I have to say that if Mayor Nutter is thinking about doing this before the end of the year, that would be really very exciting for me. And I just also wanted to say I loved that this coincided with the sort of beginning of Indigo with the cyclists, and a lot of people during that weekend used the Indigo bicycles, even though a lot of them were taken away. It was nice to see that we could avail ourselves of them as well.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I'm sure our guests do as well. Do you want to take that,
12,000 people took advantage that weekend of riding Indigo, which is double one of our best weekends prior to that. So, yes, it's
well,
great.
And I realized that the paper weekend was, you know, something in and of itself, but there was a lot of sort of nervousness about the whole thing. Lessons learned about sort of how to promote something without scaring people to death.
I'm sure the city is working on looking at those lessons. Some of it is obviously I was there, and yeah. We were all there. Who's sitting here talking to you today? And that experience was something that we want to figure out how to take all the best pieces of and replicate it again.
Well, but there's big things that happen in other places. There's a long warning. You say, hey, this is coming on this week, and you be ready. If you have mobility issues, know that on Sunday from 10 to 2, you're going to have a little bit more trouble getting outside. So you can get ahead of it, and you can warn people and, right. and say, and then, or, you know, the next street over is going to be open. It's not like everything's closed. And the thing that the Papal Weekend, once you were inside the Pope Zone, right, you felt safe because of all those Jersey barriers and everything. So those don't happen. Those aren't there. If an emergency vehicle needs to get through, it can come through. And so it's very, very different than that.
We have a tweet from John. Camden and Ben Franklin Bridge. Yes, I did the wrong river, but John likes that idea of taking it over to Camden. You're saying, why not?
Well, there's lots. We have great pictures at Open Streets on PHL on our Twitter and Facebook page of people that posted pictures of standing on the Jersey barrier on the Ben Franklin Bridge, little kids like pumping their fists. And people just love that stuff. It's just this thing. We have a photo we posted the other day of the opening of the bridge, and it's just hordes of people walking across. So it's amazing. And again, if anybody has any questions or comments, throw it on openstreetsphilly.com, and we're just taking it all in. We love pictures. If people have pictures, we hear of a rumor of a picture of a few scooters going around through Old City during the shutdown. We'd love to see that.
Okay.
If anybody has that, please send it to us.
Well, we are talking about open streets here in Philadelphia with Nate Hummel, Denise Gorin, and Inga Safran. And you can join the conversation, as our other callers have, calling us at 1-888-477-9499. I see a lot of email comments here as well at radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Barbara from Chestnut Hill to join us. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to give a little historical perspective. More than 40 years ago, the Walnut Street Business Association, with the help of Sandra Levitt Advertising, did the walk on Walnut Street. And the mayor was Frank Rizzo at the time. It was very difficult to get it to happen because of all the kinds of concerns that you've been talking about today. But it did happen, and it was wildly successful all the way around, and it was magical. And at that same time, then the institutions along the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, again working with that same agency, ended up instituting for several years in a row Super Sunday, which was the closing of the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. So I just thought to have that historical perspective, because the dream at that time for the people who worked, and I was one of them intimately on those events, was that there would be some kinds of regular walking street experiences in Philadelphia as part of the nature of the city. And so it's still alive,
I hear you.
That dream. And I just thought you'd like to hear about
Sure.
That.
No, I appreciate Barbara. I appreciate the call. Denise, anything you want to add to what she said?
I'm trying to think if I remember the Walnut Walk, and I actually might. But I think we do it now. And again, that's the question we keep asking. Rittenhouse Road closes Walnut Street. That's not what we're talking about, because it's so jammed and so crowded. Looking at it in a whole different way, just for those, for the merchants and opening the streets without all that activity, is something we need to look at and figure out when and plan for.
And plan for as well. Barbara, thanks for calling in to Radio Times. Let me get Mary from Wayne to join our conversation. Hi, Mary. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I love the ideas. It sounds great. I did not go into the city because we had a suburban block party. But anyway, the problem is going to be all the surrounding streets will be full of traffic. So I think it has to be a partnership with SEPTA to get people to come in on the train. The problem is I always use it to go to the symphony, et cetera, but coming back to the station to Stark, et cetera. If they had jitneys going all the way to Walnut, Second Street, you know, at meeting the different trains, say, every half hour, I think it would be a great idea. And it would keep all these kids from coming in on with their cars. I think that should be a year-round proposal, but specifically when streets are closed.
Oh, fair enough. Thanks, Mary, for calling into Radio Times. Are you ready for jitneys?
You know what? Our city's so walkable for almost everybody. We can probably get around a closed street by foot, and our transit system is so dense, we can probably get to a bus or a subway. Or
During the Pope weekend, I saw a lot of these bicycle taxis that were ferrying people around. I don't know where they all came from, but they just all appeared, and they seem to be doing a pretty good business.
Pedicabs, be better. Right.
What is that?
Pedicabs.
Oh, pedicabs,
so let's
yes.
Let's get as many of those as we can to shuffle people from Wayne to Center City.
From Wayne to Center City?
That's where Mary was calling from. I mean, but do you see this as kind of a city event, or is it, I mean,
you know, we are the heart of our region, and I do see many of these things invite people in who if they're traveling, they call themselves Philadelphians, right. And if we have these events, they'll do that as well.
Well, we are talking about opening up Philadelphia's streets in this hour of Radio Times, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Inga, I keep going back to you, just sort of putting this into context of other cities. So do you see Philadelphia sort of ahead of the curve, in the middle of the curve, kind of behind the curve when it comes to thinking of these open streets ideas?
Well, you know, Philadelphia's done has had a lot of great innovations. I think the bike share and the bike lanes and the bike racks and we are just by nature a very walkable city. So we have a lot of advantages that other cities don't have, and we've made a lot of changes in the last decade. Right. But on this particular innovation, we haven't done perhaps as much as some other cities, but you know, like Atlanta, you know, has way more work to do to make itself pedestrian friendly than we do. So, you know, it's not surprising right. that a city like that would really embrace something like this.
Nate, what are you going to be looking for? We have a couple minutes before we have to say goodbye. I mean, sort of looking ahead, are you hoping something before it gets the cold weather comes?
We'd be happy to do that. We think it's that's certainly a monumental challenge, which we hope the city is capable of handling, because it's just tough. So we certainly are focused towards something next summer where we could really get out in advance. But if something were to happen now, we would certainly get behind it and try and help as best we can and get the word out and all that stuff. We have amassed an amazing amount of social media followers really quickly, so we can spread the word quickly. That's something that certainly going forward, particularly the businesses, can we work with businesses to find out, hey, this is coming, can you prepare for this, can you have a better day than you normally have? And so I think that's key to coordinate with SEPTA, make sure they understand and that they can reroute a route or two. So we think there's a lot of people that need to be involved and a lot of people to talk to, and we're happy to help.
I'm giving you the last word, Denise. I don't want to put you on the spot. Something before the end of the year?
We're trying to get something before the end of the year so that there's some place in the city that people can see from a different vantage point than they've seen only from sitting inside their car.
On that note, my thanks to all three of you for joining us today on Radio Times. Denise Gorin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And she's director of the Mayor's Office of Transportation and Utilities. Inga Saffron, thank you for joining us as well. She's the Pulitzer Prize-winning architecture critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can read her blog, Changing Skyline. And Nate Hummel, thank you for joining us on Radio Times as well. One of the leaders of Open Streets Philadelphia and also Director of Planning and Design for the University City District. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes and tell us what you think of this idea. We'd like to know as well. We can share that with some of our guests. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show, produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.